everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, 27-year veteran of the NYPD. Folks, we've been covering this Micah Miller case. And of course, many people wanted to hear or expected to hear that her husband, John Miller, the pastor of the Solid Rock Church, was responsible for her death. And what we heard in a pretty thorough police report, although much of the police report and the ME's report is still not out there, the medical examiner ruled that it was a suicide and that it was self-inflicted. It was never revealed what part of the body and some of those intricate things that are necessary really to slam the door on this, because still there are still those who don't want to accept the fact of what this was, what this is. And I think as we look into this case, clearly her husband was a dirtbag. Total. I don't know what other way to explain it, but just seemed like a controlling guy. She married into an instant family of five kids. She was the mother to five kids that weren't hers. He met her when she was 10 years old. Something is fugazi about that, as they say in New York. Micah Miller's husband, John Paul, began grooming her years before the couple wed in 2017, according to a Myrtle Beach police report obtained by the News 13 in Myrtle Beach. Miller made the allegation in a February 21st complaint about a stolen vehicle after being discharged from an involuntary hospital stay. How can it be any worse that someone, a family member, commits you to a mental hospital against your will, when who's giving this diagnosis? Is it him? Is that part of his bullying of her? That's what it seems like to me. He was a big time bully. You know, he was bullying his wife, and he had total control over her. And that's sort of sad to see something like this, because she was crying out, screaming out for help, and clearly she didn't get the help that she needed. Micah Miller killed herself on April 27th at Lumber River State Park in Robeson County, 2 days after serving John Paul, the former senior pastor at Solid Rock Church in Market Common, with divorce papers. Miller was a vital part of the church, leading youth worship sessions and the women's ministry. Micah Miller's suicide came after well-documented claims of abuse within her marriage, substantiated by court records filed last week by her siblings in a bid to control her estate. The May 2nd affidavits filed by Sierra Francis and Nathaniel Francis allege a pattern of abuse and harassment toward Micah by her husband, echoed in Miller's comments to police in February. The complainant stated she had been separated from her husband since January of 2023. The complainant witness stated she was involuntarily hospitalized. And when the complainant witness was discharged from the hospital, hospital staff informed her that her husband picked up her purse and car keys, the report states. Miller met with police in Coastal Grand Mall parking lot to report the theft of her car. She was hospitalized between February 8th and February 10th and told officers she believed John Paul committed her to steal the vehicle. The complainant stated that she has known her husband since she was 10 years old, and that he groomed her while she worked for him at Solid Rock Church until they were married 6 years ago, the police report says. The news obtained court documents showing that John Paul had power of attorney over Micah's health care, and he told officers Miller was prone to episodes on an annual basis. John Paul said his wife spends large amounts of money when she stops taking her prescribed medication, and acknowledge having the car to prevent it from being sold. I mean, so here's a man controlling her life. If that was her car and marital property, well, he can't actually steal it, believe it or not, because it would be a civil matter, because the property is owned by both. But I think there's some of the things in his actions that can be looked at as perhaps criminal. And one of the things is that he admitted putting or having a private investigator, he insulated himself from it, of putting tracking devices in her car. Whether he did it or a private investigator did it, that's against the law, right? To track someone like that, you need a search warrant. And usually the only ones that are going to get a search warrant are the police. And since he's not the police and doesn't have a search warrant, admitting to that is a criminal act. And you can see all the cute little things this guy's done. It's just very hard to believe. No drama mama from the chat. First thing to do when thinking about a separation divorce, get your spouse off your medical directives. No drama mama. I'm sure that all the things that we know now, she didn't do. But you know something? She was trying to get out of this horrendous situation. And she probably left many things undone. So I'm going to dig into this case a little bit and show some of the reports, the police reports that Micah Miller made against the husband, and just how bad her life was with him, and how it seems he was quite abusive to her. So folks, hold on to your seats, hold on to your hats, get ready to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in Tampa and Grant's bike by there.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
You know, a lot of the things that undoubtedly the Pastor John Miller did in this case will come out. The investigation is not even close to complete. And even if he violated the law civilly, I believe that Micah Miller's family will fight him. And someone put in the chat that they believe just very recently he put their home in the church's, Denise Green. I heard he put their house in the church's name of title a few months before her death. Well, you know something? The divorce wasn't complete. They will find out that he did that, and they can reverse that. That's a real dirtbag move that this guy is famous for many things. Just horrific how this guy treated her. Becky B, this poor woman tried everything. The most dangerous time in a DV case is when you decide to leave. Becky B, myself and Phil Grimaldi, who we did a show on this yesterday, we echoed that. We've seen a lot of these cases while on the NYPD. And no doubt that is the most dangerous time. I want to go to News Nation, who uncovered with a Freedom of Information Law request to get some of the police reports that she had made against Pastor John Miller. And I'm going to put this up on the screen, and we'll listen to this because I think they did a pretty good job uncovering this.
We have new details surrounding the death of 30-year-old Micah Miller. The woman took her own life late last month, just 2 days after serving divorce papers to her husband, who is the former senior pastor at a church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. News Nation's Rich McHugh digging deeper into this story now. There is a newly uncovered police report from earlier this year. And Rich, that report contains previously unknown information about Micah's relationship with her husband. What are we learning?
Hi, Natasha. Well, we're learning a lot. We just got even more police reports. I submitted a FOIA request from the Myrtle Beach Police Department, and now we have...
A FOIA request is a Freedom of Information law. He was a little... It sounded for... He didn't pronounce that exactly, but it's FOIA is a Freedom of Information law request, and that's how he was able to get these police reports.
About 12 different police reports with all sorts of new information about Mica and their troubled past. Here's what we're learning. She told officers that she and John Paul, her then husband, had been separated since January of 2023, that she has known her husband, who is 14 years her older, since she was 10, that, quote, he groomed her while she worked for him at Solid Rock Church until they were married in 2017. She said her husband stole her car, that she had been hospitalized against her will, that police found a tracking device on her car. Now, in communication with John Paul Miller over text message, he confirmed to me that he was behind that. Quote, I even hired PI to put trackers on her car to know if she was going to a gun store because she had...
That is illegal to do that, just so you, if you guys are wondering. He admits it. Here he goes. I even hired a PI. He could say whatever he wants to after that. Whatever his reason was, it doesn't matter. That's illegal. That is an illegal search and seizure, basically. And whether you did it or your PI did it, that is criminal. And, you know, if he's admitting to this and potentially his private investigator admits to it, they could be arrested for that. All right. So he's clearly, running at the mouth. I'm sure his lawyer will say, shut your mouth. But he's admitting to doing some of these real nefarious things that show exactly who this guy is.
Kept trying to get a gun for the past few months, adding, I have never once in my entire life ever hurt her in any way, ever. Now, Tim Carter, a friend of Mica and formerly a friend of JP as well, recounts this conversation he had with JP a few years prior. Take a listen.
JP personally called me and said, hey, Mica bought a gun. She's out in the backyard where you think she bought it to shoot me. I don't know, JP. I don't know what's going on in the house that would be a reason. So, you know, this isn't the first time he's tried or that there's been suicide brought up. I get it. And then he was scared, was wondering, do you think she bought it to shoot me? Well, you know, why would that be a question if you wasn't mistreating her?
In March, she posted on Facebook some advice for anyone struggling with leaving an abusive situation. Here she is.
You don't have to stay in a abusive relationship, whether that's sexual, whether that's somebody forcing you to take illegal drugs or alcohol abuse or physical abuse, psychological abuse, making you think that this is all your fault or you're a bad mom or you're a bad wife or you're a bad husband or you're not giving it your all when you know you are.
Mica's father, Michael, posting on Facebook just recently saying, it's not over. The floodgates are opening. Justice for Mica. Now, I've asked JP for an interview, and his attorney said no, or at least not at this time. He's not going to be speaking. In speaking with her friends, she says this is just beginning. They say this is just beginning. Natasha.
At just beginning. Rich McHugh, we appreciate the FOIA requests you submitted and the new reporting on this today. Thank you so much.
So, you know, there's, where will the justice come in this case? The justice is going to come in a civil case, I believe, because unless they can prove that, and the district attorney goes after him for some of these, clearly that putting trackers in someone's car is against the law. Would the district attorney prosecute for that? That remains to be seen. But in a civil case, you know, this guy was quite a you know, I can't explain. I keep using the word dirtbag. That's what I think of when I think of this guy. Helena, Pauline Buckles, hi. There's a case Michelle Carter convinced her boyfriend to commit suicide. She was convicted of manslaughter. I don't think John Paul Miller convinced her to commit suicide. I think he caused it by the way he was treating her, by the way he was stalking her, by the way he was totally mistreating her. But can you prove that someone caused? I don't think that's almost impossible to prove. But as more is uncovered here, with more police reports, 10, 11 police reports she made in the last year, why didn't she have an order of protection, a court order protecting? And again, a court order is a piece of paper. It doesn't protect you. However, what it does do, it keeps that person away from you. And apparently he was the one slashing her tires. He was the one following her around. He was the one causing her all of this grief. And yet the police, they didn't know that. I mean, he should have been arrested. When they saw him at the scene stalking her and his name was on that complaint report, he should have been arrested. Did his position maybe, that he was a pastor at a church, that he was influential, that he knew a lot of people, did that prevent him from getting arrested in this case? Lori Blythe from the chat, I don't get how her parents would let her see this man when she was 14 and he was 28. I guess maybe they weren't aware what he was doing since he was a pastor. Lori Blythe, that happens all of the time in religions. You know, people trust the clergy. And what we've been finding out over the past 30, 40 years is that clergy cannot be trusted, you know, in these cases. And all we hear about is cases that he was grooming her. Art Lover from the chat, he tried to get into her apartment after she died. He was denied, probably looking to destroy evidence. This guy is you know, unbelievable, right? Why would he be trying to break into her apartment? And break, I say, he has no authority. They were separated and they were getting divorced, right? Was their divorce finalized yet? Hey, it's Jay. Micah was failed. He was trying to destroy her by any means. He already moved on mentally. Yeah, he moved on, but you know something? She was fragile, and we saw what happened. Elaine McKenzie from the chat. No, that's not to do with this case. I'm not going to read that. Yeah, the video Chitwin Slim does say a lot. Lori Blythe, I think he mentally abused her. 1,000% he mentally abused her. But he, no doubt in my mind, no doubt in everyone's mind, no doubt in the friends of Micah Miller, they know he caused her. He caused her to commit suicide. But can they prove this? That's what's disheartening. Let's listen to Banfield here.
He's a trial attorney and the co-host of the Reasonable Doubt podcast with Adam Carolla. Okay, here it goes. You know, people love to take pot shots at lawyers, but this is why defense lawyers do the job that they do, right? You can have a total scumbag, somebody whose skeletons are spilling out all over the place as something else happens beside him that he looks very, very guilty about. And look what happened today. It is, I mean, it's just, there's no issue. He has an alibi. There's evidence that she killed herself. I wanted you to get the opportunity to talk about how this is the problem that you face in crimes like this.
You know, you and I have talked before in the pre-Trump era. Every May, it seemed like every May, there would be either a missing woman or a woman who was murdered. And then there was instantaneous kind of this axis of evil of people breathlessly accusing the male of the crime. And this had all the earmarks of it. Down to the videos and the texts and the other women and everything that you could ever want. If the police had not come out and said that, look, we've got license plate pictures, screen grabs that we've taken from the toll road. We have an alibi of where he had spent the night. He wasn't even in the jurisdiction. And frankly, I was talking with your producer about it. If there wasn't the demonstrable evidence that she had purchased the gun, he would be, you know, if not in custody, they would have already basically convicted him in absentia. And that's the worry in these cases. You're off to the races before you even start.
Yeah, I mean, this is the picture that did it for me. She is in the pawn shop buying this gun all by herself. This people jumped online saying she was forced to, probably the woman that her husband was having the affair with killed her and then made it look like a suicide and probably called 911 pretending to be her. You can't refute the fact that she was in there by herself, you know, moments before she used that gun that she's buying. Here's the other question I have for you. Are there any civil actions anywhere here? I look at the 20 minutes that it took her from the moment she walked in the door to get that gun. 20 minutes, that's all it took to get the gun, and then she used it to kill herself. And the way the husband had behaved, there are all sorts of allegations that he was emotionally abusive to her. I think there's like suggestions that, you know, she was 14 when they met and maybe not that young, not that old when they, you know, turned into a relationship. Is there any civil action, wrongful death, that can flow out of these, the pattern of facts you've seen?
Well, you can always conjure up a cause of action. It's whether or not it's something that will stick, number one. And number two, you know, most plaintiff's lawyers work on a contingency. If there is a client who can come up with a cause of action, is there somebody who can pay? I hate to kind of rip off the Band-Aid of what civil justice is, but that is kind of the calculation.
Yeah, it is. Mark, thank you. Appreciate it. You were the first person I thought of when it comes to...
You know, it's funny how Mark Garrigo said rip off the Band-Aid of what civil cases are. You know, most of us don't have the highest opinions of attorneys as it is. And civil cases, you know, look, attorneys, it's an honorable profession. However, we always talk about the people that are what we call ambulance chasers, you know, that they put on their Adidas or their Nikes and they're chasing ambulances trying to go after cases. This case, though, I would almost guarantee, and someone said before I go to that, time for a change. Having worked with domestic violence survivors for years, I certainly recognize the signs of control and emotional abuse. This poor woman felt there was no other way to escape the clutches of a monster. Time for a change. You're 100,000% correct. And you know something? We said it on yesterday's show, and, you know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And, of course, using that word solution, it's never a solution. It's never a solution. And you just hope that when someone is thinking about this, that there's someone close by that can talk them out of it, someone close by that can help them. They could call a hotline, anything. Think of how much Micah still had to offer this world. What a great woman. But she was beaten down. She was abused. She saw perhaps no way out of this. And this guy, who pretends, that he loves her, he's a manipulator. He's a bully. And one of the things I will agree with, Garrigos, the attorney we just saw on Banfield, is that, yeah, I think the police did a pretty thorough investigation. I'm satisfied that he wasn't involved in her suicide. However, I think he drove her to it. He clearly drove her to it. But, you know, when we see these pictures, of course, this is her walking into the pawn shop. This is her purchasing the firearm. A 9mm 6-hour. Someone in the chat said, how come she had mental health issues and she was able to purchase a firearm? Because clearly they did no background check. She walked in. How long was she there? Not very long. She walked out with a 9mm. No one did a background check. No one checked. No one checked to see that if she had a criminal history, a mental health history. There apparently, in where she bought the gun, it was North Carolina or South Carolina. There's no waiting period. You can go in and walk out with a gun the very same day. You know, Tiffany Knox. Thanks, Bill. I remember hearing that line as you, a teenager, and always stayed with me. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've worked a lot with suicide. We've talked a lot about it on this show. I always mention Dr. Stephen Washkel, who is the expert on it, and he counsels the NYPD, who, you know, all police departments have an inordinate amount of that. CJT Quee from the chat, think of an abusive relationship as an addiction. That's what it feels like. Painful, but only life you know, and difficult to get out of. CJT Quee, thank you so much for that. People always act as if when they're not in that type of relationship, oh, I just leave. You know, I don't think Micah had a means of support of herself other than her husband. I mean, I'm sure she could get a job, but at that time, she was controlled by him financially and emotionally and every other way, you know. Sarah Brome, he probably chose her because of her vulnerability. Well, that's another thing when we talk about Carol Mary, 46. She was afraid of him. That's why she bought the gun. She wanted to protect herself. She didn't have any intentions on using it on herself. He went and made her shoot her. Carol Mary, I don't believe that. The time frame of when she bought the gun and when she went to the park was very, 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 very close. You know, she didn't take a lot of time to do that. She bought the gun and went to this park. And then, you know, the infamous, of course, 911 call that I'll play it right now. And if you doubt it, this is the 911 call. And we critiqued some of this yesterday also. But I'm going to put this up on the screen. Here's the 911 call, Micah calling 911. And you know, you decide.
Robinson County 911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi, are you able to trace the location of my phone?
Let me see. You don't know where you're at?
And National Park.
What's the phone number you're calling me from?
843-655-5242.
Where's the park located at?
In Bear Bluff. I have my location on, I think, on my phone. Find my phone is on. Just did my share my location.
Okay, I'm showing. Hold on 1 second.
You know, we spoke about last night, and you know, again. Do we criticize the 911 operator? Did the 911 operator not sense there was something very wrong? Did the 911 operator, should she have sensed something was wrong? Up until this point, you know, maybe I would ask, well, man, why do you want to know if your family could track your phone? Why do you want, you know, and then try to schmooze her and find out, you know, is there a problem? And perhaps, you know, she could have talked her out of it. But again, am I taking too much upon the 911 caller? Did the 911 operator, did the 911 operator perhaps not have good training? Was she inexperienced? And again, let me know what you think. I'm going to go back to the 911 call right now. There's some dead air here for a while.
I don't think you are in Robinson County.
So she's tracking where her cell phone is.
Yeah, the Lumber River State Park.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Okay. Tell me what's happened.
I'm about to kill myself, and I just want my family to know where to find me.
Okay, ma'am.
That there you are. I mean, that right there, I'm flabbergasted. All right. She says, I'm about to kill myself. And the 911 operator says, okay, ma'am. And then there's a lot of dead air. And there, what, I mean, your training should tell you to keep the person talking. Keep the person on the phone. Don't let the person go away. Don't let the person hang up. Please let me help you. Where exactly are you in the park? You know, some of those questions get the person talking. But it seems like the 911 operator didn't know what to do after she was told, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to kill myself, she says. And that was it. That's the call. So, what actually happened is in regards to the 911 operator. Did Micah then hang up? So am I criticizing someone that doesn't deserve this criticism, the operator? And then what was the next actions of the 911 operator? Of course, to call the police to go to the park. There's a woman that indicated that she was about to commit suicide. But I just think when she first said that, you got to jump all over that as a 911 operator. And you got to jump on it and start talking to that person and start talking them out of it. It's just, it's not something you can wait to do. I'm the mom, that's why. And she stated it wasn't even Robeson County as well. I'm more concerned with the fact that she didn't engage. Roseanne from the chat, you can tell during autopsy by looking at the entrance wound, the angle of the trajectory. The person doing the autopsy was an ME, a physician, not a coroner in this case. They usually have experience. Roseanne, we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is the 911 call from Micah before she had done this deed that maybe a well-trained 911 operator may, and maybe not, maybe I'm being too harsh, but maybe a well-trained 911 operator could have talked out of doing that. But again, when the medical examiner in this case responded to the scene, so if they knew that this was a case that they couldn't screw around with, that they had to get to the scene because the medical exam, they didn't want, for example, a coroner. They wanted the medical examiner to go to the scene because, again, many people, even now after the police, the big report came out that I'll touch upon a little bit. Many people still feel that John Paul Miller, the pastor, still did it. Some people still are not satisfied. And the entire investigative report wasn't released to the public. Much of it was. However, there's some really important parts that need to be released to the public for everyone to be satisfied. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right location. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and ring that bell, and share us with your friends and your family, and talk about us to your friends and your family. And if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with three different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. And we appreciate all our fans, our friends, our subscribers who really enjoy true crime from a police perspective, because that's what you're going to get from this channel. And we try not to sensationalize. We try to give you the facts of the case and our experience on what we think may have happened. It's all optics. 9/11 operator was fine. I feel Micah just wanted to ensure they could ping her location to find her. She gave impression she may be lost, not ending her life. It's all optics. I totally disagree with you. When someone says to you, as a 911 operator, I'm going to kill myself, You better step up right then. You better use your best rap right then to talk them out of doing something that they're going to do, something horrible. How could you say she was fine? Natalia Poole, as a 911 operator, if you're not talking, I should know there's a reason and then start talking. Natalia, thank you. Thank you. And when someone, Natalia, I'd like to hear your input on this. When someone calls you and says they're going to kill themselves, what are you going to do? Aren't you going to step up? Aren't you going to start talking? Aren't you going to do your best? And you should be trained to do that. Training that how to get someone perhaps to change their mind. While yet still today could be, unfortunately, we won't get to know answers to all these questions surrounding this precious lady's early departure from Earth. I just trust some higher does know details and will deal with it. Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, we're here to analyze also what occurred, and I cannot in good conscience ignore this. NG, oh my goodness, my husband is a law enforcement officer. I've been an RN for 30 years. Dispatch as a whole are pathetically poor responders, incorrect triage to get to the 9/11 purpose. NG, you're 100% correct, right? Shouldn't there have been a sixth sense by the 911 operator of, ma'am, why are you calling? Are you okay? Where are you? Well, what's your name? What's your call? All of those things. I didn't hear any of that. I mean, early on in the call, she said, where's your emergency? That's the first thing they're supposed to say. But shouldn't she have dug a little deeper to find out that, you know, miss, are you okay? What's the substance of this call? And when she came out of left field and said, I want my family to know where I am because I'm going to kill myself, that's when you got to jump in and use your absolute best material, your best empathy, your best tenderness to talk this person out of doing something that they cannot come back from. Susie A, Carol Mary, how do you know she didn't send them? Maybe that is what she was doing when she asked her to hold on. You are making assumptions. Guys, I'm not, of course she sent the police. Of course, that's her job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about she should have stayed on the phone with her and got her to stay on the phone. She made no movement to do that. That is what I'm criticizing. I think you guys are missing the point. Carol Mary, 46, operator, could have saved your life had she sent the police immediately. They're supposed to know your location when you call from a cell phone. Now, look, no matter how close the police are, perhaps it would take them much too long, whereas someone that's already on the phone with someone indicating an intention of committing suicide, that's your chance right there. Hey, it's Jay. You talk to pause their mind to buy time to save them. Cops do it, and anyone can do it. I knew a cop that got a jumper call, and the jumper was literally on the edge, and he saved them. Talk. That is the motto of the NYPD hostage negotiation team. Their motto is talk to me. As long as you can keep them talking, you can perhaps save their life. But when you don't, they're not talking, what occurred is what's going to happen.
Some of the details being released in the death of a Myrtle Beach pastor's wife. Officials say a man approached them and said he heard crying and a gunshot while he was fishing at the state park in nearby North Carolina, where they say Micah Miller took her own life. Ryan Bass joins us live. And Ryan, so much speculation about this case and new developments. How much weight are police putting on what this man says he heard?
Well, they're definitely taking his account into consideration here, Nick. And look, there's so much national curiosity around Micah Miller's death. But police say there's no conspiracy theory here. She took her own life. And now that man, as you mentioned, is giving us new details about a gunshot that he heard in that same park around the time of Micah Miller's death. Still, there's questions that remain about her relationship with her husband, John Paul Miller, a local pastor at a church that both were involved in. Now, the Robeson County Medical Examiner did confirm that Miller died by a self-inflicted gunshot wound on April 27th. Her body was found in the water at Lumber River State Park, about 70 miles north of Myrtle Beach. A man who claimed to have found Micah's fanny pack with her ID inside, but didn't want his face shown, spoke exclusively with our local affiliate WBTW, saying he heard crying, a gunshot, and then silence.
Maybe 5 minutes after getting into the slough, I heard a cry, a faint cry. Heard it for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and the crying stopped. He was out. If it would have been a person out there crying in the opening where I could see him, I'd have checked on him all day long.
And in new police reports obtained by that News Nation affiliate, Micah told police earlier this year that John Paul had been grooming her for years since she started working for him at the church. They've known each other, she said, since she was 10 years old. Other findings include John Paul having power of attorney over Micah's health care, allegedly transferring the deed of their home to one of his sons and moving Micah's belongings from their home while she experienced a mental health crisis. Now, police released a timeline of the day that Micah died, from the moment she left her house at just after 11:30 in the morning to when she bought the gun police found at the scene at 12:13 in the afternoon, and then less than 3 hours later, when she called 911 from that state park, threatening to take her own life. Now, the sheriff's office said that Pastor Miller was not in North Carolina the night before or the day of Micah's death. He was in Charleston at an athletic event, confirmed by surveillance video. He then broke the news to his congregation on the 28th, claiming Micah was struggling with mental illness and took her own life. But friends and family of Micah's say she could not have killed herself. Micah had filed for a divorce from John Paul Miller multiple times, according to reports, including days before her death. She hinted on social media to being in an abusive relationship. There's also recent police reports Micah filed in March saying she was fearful for her life, claiming that someone slashed her tires and a GPS tracking device was put on her car. Now, while many conspiracy theorists have tried to link John Paul Miller to Micah's death, police say the facts show she died by suicide based on surveillance footage, interviews, physical evidence, and of course, the medical examiner's report. Now, Pastor Miller has since been released from his senior pastor duties at Solid Rock Church and told our Rich McHugh that he never hurt Micah in a text message. But again, so many close friends and relatives here, Nick, are saying that Micah taking her own life just isn't possible.
Unbelievable. But you know something, guys, look, had they not had this amount of evidence, I just want to go to the chat first. Kelly O, thank you so much. Kelly O has gifted 10 police off the cuff memberships. Thank you so much, Kelly O. Very much appreciated. Whit James, thank you. I sent you a bunch of screenshots and information on your Instagram DMs. Thank you, Whit James. I'm trying to put you on the screen. There we go. I sent you a bunch of screenshots and information on your Insta DMs. Thank you so much. You know, this case is so, so heartbreaking. Becky B, this is a very triggering topic for some people. I understand it's okay to have differing opinions. Please do not do so respectfully. Many people have been affected by this topic. Becky B, I hope I'm not being disrespectful in any way, but some, when they were talking about, and maybe I jumped to it a little harshly, about the 911 operator. I think most of us, when we hear and listen to the 911 operator's work, I think that it's not impressing us. We think that perhaps the 911 operator could have done a better job keeping her on the phone. Matilda Green, the police could have been there. Almost sounds like she's talking slow, like the operator should have asked her the problem long before she did. Duh. Matilda Green, I agree with you. That is the whole job, is to keep someone talking. When our emergency service unit goes up on a building and a guy's on the ledge ready to jump off, they can't stand there silently. They have to engage that person in conversation. Get that person to think of something else. They're trained in what to say and what not to say, for that matter. So important. Art Danks, suicide is possible even for a mentally healthy person if they are in an extremely abusive situation. Art Danks, you're 100% correct. Julia Ann, it's on whomever put this girl in this job. You know, Julia Ann, I blame it on the training, believe it or not. I could hear in her voice and what she said, she doesn't seem to be very well trained in her job. And that is, you know, that's the fault of the job. You know, we spoke about it, you know, preventing a suicide. How do you do that? 9/11 operators have to be in the game of that. They have to have the training to know how to do that, you know? And at this point, it doesn't seem like they do. So that's the 911 operator must know what to do, must know how to do it. And it doesn't seem like in this case that I keep putting this on the screen incorrectly. Cancel. Okay. She didn't seem like she knew what to do. She just didn't seem like she had the proper training. Let's put it that way. You know, I think that I think this story is a story that's it's told all too many times, you know, that people across this country in abusive relationships, some of them end poorly, some of them end horribly, because, you know, look, Micah reached out for help. And she didn't get the help. And, you know, even if we may have to even look into what kind of help that she actually got from the police. She made 11 or 12 police reports over the past year. And look what happened, right? Heather, whatever, the abuser covers their bases by making any complaints about them look like they're coming from someone with mental health problems. Yeah, you know, something though, but it's sort of... I don't know. Someone's, are you guys having problems? Oh, okay. I'm back on, right? Well, I still don't have sound. You guys hearing me okay? So, it's just so horrific, this case. I want to put this up on the screen from a local TV station. Here we go. There's been a lot of coverage, of course, on this case.
Say the 30-year-old Myrtle Beach woman died by suicide last month. But throughout the case, many of her friends and family have spotlighted Micah's separation from her husband, Myrtle Beach pastor John Paul Miller. ABC 15's Andrew James joins us now after we received new police reports shedding more light on the couple's troubled marriage. Andrew.
Yeah, Connor, well, we receive reports through the Freedom of Information Act. Myrtle Beach police, they released the reports relating to Micah Miller. And one filed in February, Micah reported her vehicle stolen from the Market Common Walmart. Micah told police that she had been estranged from her husband since January 2023 in that report. She said she was committed to a hospital against her will February 8th. When she was discharged, she went to collect her sedan that she'd left at Walmart, but it was gone. She blamed John Paul Miller in that police report, saying she's known him since she was 10 and that he, quote, groomed her while she worked at Solid Rock Church. Eventually, they got married. The Now, in that report, John Paul also told police that he did move the car, saying it was marital property. He adds that he feared Micah would go on a spending spree due to her mental illness, and he didn't want her to sell the car away. Now, police determined the car was, in fact, marital property, and no charges were filed. Earlier this week, though, we received reports from Horry County Police showing Micah feared for her life after her tires were slashed and a tracking device was found in her car. That happened around March. Connor?
You know, so that whole part about he feared she'd spend too much money. Are you kidding me, dude? Where is that come from? How is that an excuse for doing what you were doing? I mean, this guy was a total control freak on his wife. And so the excuse that he was tracking her, he was afraid she was going to sell the car. Dude, you got to be kidding me. You know, that as an excuse. I mean, I think that if he ever brought that to a civil case, they would eviscerate him. Oh, yeah, I was afraid she was going to sell the car. Well, whose car was it? It was marital property. Oh, so she would that would be up in, you know, in a civil case that would all come out. But here he is following her, putting tracking devices, hired a private investigator, and then convincing the police that she's mentally ill not to take her complaint seriously. I just think that that's so horrific. You know, this guy is the prince of manipulation, you know. From the chat, I'm the mom. That's why, as he transferred the house title, not marital property. You know, I'm the mom. That's why. You know something? Transferring that, the house title to your son when you're married for X amount of years, I don't know what the laws are in South Carolina, but in New York, I think after how many years they were married, I think the wife is entitled to half of the marital assets. So as I said, I don't know what the divorce laws are in South Carolina, but this guy's doing everything to protect. This is the man of the cloth. Good guy, right? Real good guy. Teresa Webb from the chat, Polly and I would have left that church after the wanting a hot wife remark. Jordan Davies, my heart breaks for Micah and her family. It's so sad that he couldn't just leave her alone. She obviously wanted to get away from him. He's a monster. Yeah, absolutely. Roseanne, more information needs to be out on calling 988 National Mental Health Hotline to the public. You know, even every community usually has a suicide hotline. That's so important also. And this problem was going on for over a year. And I know that Micah Miller has a lot of friends. And I know probably many of her friends tried to help her. They tried to assist her. And right now, as a friend, you probably feel like a total failure. But sometimes you can't prevent something like this. You could do your best as a friend to try and be there for your friend and offer whatever your friend needs that will prevent them from. But this, you know, a year of going through a divorce, going through a bad relationship, moving out, and then having this guy stalk her. As I said earlier on in this broadcast, yeah, perhaps he can't get charged with killing her, but he certainly drove her to it. He drove her to this. And, you know, he says in a quote, "Oh, I never mistreated her." Dude, that doesn't pass the smell test. People that aren't mistreated don't make 12 police reports. You know, and how were her tires getting slashed on her car? You admitted putting tracking devices, or you hired a private eye because you don't have the balls to admit that you did it, right? You're trying to get yourself out from under it. Putting tracking devices in someone's car is against the law. It's illegal. It's considered to be an illegal search and seizure. So all the stuff that you're saying to get your ass out from under it, dude, it's not cutting it. While yet still today, thank you, Sergeant Cannon. Well, thank you. I'm the mom. That's why. Sherry Murray, definitely a civil suit in the making. Absolutely. Heather, whatever, stalking. 100% he's stalking her. This guy is a control freak. You can tell, you know. Teresa Webb, Micah mentioned being forced to take unneeded medication. Teresa, you're 100% right. She mentioned some other things too. Question, could he be taken to court for a wrongful death? I don't believe so. But I think the only satisfaction I think that the family can get is civilly. They could take her property from him, perhaps, if they take him to civil court. As far as a criminal charge, you know, the one criminal charge that screams out at me is putting those trackers in her car. That's illegal. And now that she's passed away, can they even prove? Well, an investigator, apparently those razor things, objects that slashed her tires are something you can order online. If they could search his computer and find out he's ordered them, that's pretty good circumstantial evidence that he did this, you know. But it's Jordan Davies, it's sad that Micah was groomed by JP and ultimately brainwashed her and she married this man. Rest in peace, Micah. You deserve so much better. 100% of this woman deserves so much better than that. I'm the mom. That's why several civil suits here. I believe so. I think that's the only satisfaction, perhaps, that the family can get. Julia Ann, it is so bad that we can't have at least three trained operators per station to cover 24 hours. That's a must. It must change, like working in hospital and desk clerk is only doctor. Yeah, isn't it? You know something? That's in medicine too. There's such a shortage of good people that are the staff of a doctor. Sometimes you may be happy with a doctor, but his office is horrific, is horrendous. And I think I'm just comparing this, and I don't want to beat up this 911 operator, but I don't think she was trained very well. And you can, when you listen to that 911 call, if you're in the biz, if you worked as a cop, worked as a nurse, you worked as an ambulance dispatcher, you worked as a fireman, you know that there was, it was poor training. It was absolutely poor training. Bless it, she was a beautiful person. So sad. 100%. Skippy J are cowards. Micah 77. This guy is a psychopath with zero moral compass, no emotional life, no remorses, just purest evil. You know, Micah, I agree with you. Not just that, this man is a man of the cloth. So is this the guy you want to preach to you? Is this the guy you want to counsel you? And he was the pastor of a church. He may not be the pastor of that church any longer. That remains to be seen, but we'll see. They relieved him of his duties so far.
Correspondent Rich McHugh has been on the ground all day long in South Carolina. He joins us now with the very latest. What have you learned, Rich?
Hi, Elizabeth. Well, it's the news that nobody here in Myrtle Beach wanted to hear. Many in her circle are in stunned disbelief. The Robeson County Sheriff confirming just hours ago that surveillance photos and the 911 call confirmed that Micah Miller did take her life. They just released a statement I want to read. While I know it's not what many people wanted to hear, the evidence is quite clear and compelling, and we are as saddened as anyone that this occurred. Before this news, her husband, John Paul, sent me this text message. I have never once in my life ever hurt her in any way, ever. Her close friends are devastated and stunned, saying she gave no indication that she was at all suicidal. Take a look.
She had a hair appointment this week. She plans to attend church with them on Sunday. So the news, when I heard it, I thought it was just some kind of terrible misunderstanding. Because she was headed in a positive direction and she was making plans and had a new purpose that she was pursuing. She was loving her job, everything.
But they say there was a lot of darkness in her life. She had just filed for divorce 2 days before her death, just filed police reports because someone had slashed her tires, and she found a GPS tracking device on her car. She even filed a no-contact restraining order against, according to police records, but it's unknown if it was for JP. Police had redacted the name on the report. In March, she posted on Facebook some advice for anyone struggling with leaving an abusive situation. Here she is.
You don't have to stay in a abusive relationship, whether that's sexual, whether that's somebody forcing you to take illegal drugs or alcohol abuse.
Did you see the face she made after the comment about illegal drugs? Was he forcing her to take I'll replay that. Was he forcing her to take illegal drugs?
Sexual, whether that's somebody forcing you to take illegal drugs,
you got taste,
or you got alcohol well, obviously, abuse.
I mean, that said it all. He was perhaps forcing her to take illegal drugs, among many other things in this abusive relationship.
Or physical abuse, psychological abuse, making you think that this is all your fault, or you're a bad mom, or you're a bad wife, or you're a bad husband, or you're not giving it your all when you know you are.
Now, challenges her close friend, who has asked us not to use her name, says Micah was definitely struggling with. Take a look.
I know she'd been struggling. She's gotten three different numbers, or she's had three different numbers in the last 3 months, trying to make sure that he did not get her phone number and could not get in contact with her. She messaged me saying, you know, thank you for your gentle warnings over the years about JP or my relationship with JP. You know, I know that you knew I wasn't ready to get out yet, but I've replayed our combos over and over in our head throughout the years and wished there was a way I could get out. And now I have, with a big smiley face.
Now, the sentiment here again among friends that this does not feel like closure given all that she went through. Elizabeth?
Yeah, Rich, the friends are all saying that she was in an abusive relationship. She appears to be saying that in her own self, that the selfie video that she posted. And then there was that bizarre series of videos of the preacher, her ex, soon to be ex-husband, JP, on the, you know, in the church, giving a series of what can only be described as bizarre sermons, where he talks first, announces to the congregation that my wife is dead. Just a couple hours ago, she killed herself. Then talks about shooting people because you're so angry. Those videos were taken down rather quickly. They're no longer available online. But that really is what spurred all the interest and suspicion in this case.
Yeah, there's so much under the hood here, Elizabeth, depending on which side you talk to people who are aligned with him, JP, and you get one story, people who are aligned with her, and you get a completely different story. There's so much going on. That's why everybody was so frustrated that this was the news today, that this was the end.
You know, when we hear about the grooming that went on since she was 10 years old, was there perhaps SA involved here too? Like, she knew this guy since she was 10 years old or 14. I read once it said since she was 10 and once she was 14. Which is it? But some of you in the chat are also saying that he was a perv, that, you know, and that he's also you know, hey, Jake loves Jesus. He groomed her since teen years, and his congregation knew it. Yikes. Well, that's not so unusual, you know. Julia Ann, he should be prevented from any future pastoring, preaching, teaching, no jobs, or volunteering around children under 18. Micah 77, poor soul, I think Jesus forgave her. You know, who knows, Jordan Davies, who knows if anything the dispatcher said would have helped save Micah? Better training is definitely needed for 9/11 operators, though. Absolutely. Matilda Green, could the word has been passed that she did it before and she was not serious? Jake loves Jesus. It is sick to think a man goes into the ministry to take advantage of girls. Oh, isn't that the truth? Rosie, hi, thanks for your work. I was a survivor. Rosie, so happy to hear that you're a survivor. And thank you for joining Police Off the Cuff. And this topic, this subject, this case is just so heartbreaking. But we can learn something from it. I'm the mom. That's why I've heard she needed to watch him having sex with other women. I'm the mom. I don't know if any of that's true. So, I can't really report that as fact. You know, I don't know how you know that. I'm going through the Whit James. She started going to church at 10 and became his babysitter at 14 or 15. Wow. So, you know, you can read between the lines there. I'm the mom. That's why, as he was married to another woman, great Family Man, I think you meant to write. Yeah, I mean, just true crime with Stephanie Michelle. You know, this case hits so close to home. I've been in a physical and emotional abusive relationship. This could have so easily been me. I moved 1,000 miles away from my abuser. Prayers to Mika's family. True crime with Stephanie Michelle. Well, thank you so much for that. And thank you for your advice to people. You know, so many times I do get touched in a emotional way when so many people in the chat have gone through some of the very same things that we're covering. And I hope in some way that this show, maybe I'm giving myself too much credit, but this show can be therapeutic. And not just for me, but can be therapeutic in the way that you're talking to other people in the chat that have been through some of the same things as the cases that we are covering. And Rosie, I was a punching bag because I found out about a girl. God took him away from me. He was on an airplane and he passed. Spiritual angel. She was murdered by him, period. The father was a criminal and perv. The cops are dirty too. This stinks to high heaven. You know, spiritual angel, look, if the evidence was there that he did this, I would agree with you, but the evidence is not. I could even put up the investigative document that the police put out in regards to this. Anyone could get this document. It's out there. They did a pretty thorough job. I'm going to just put I'm going to put on the screen the time frame, the timeline. And I think this, the timeline will definitely show, I think, what occurred here. 10:13 a.m., Miller was observed on a Ring camera leaving her residence on Margarita Drive in Myrtle Beach. 11, Miller was observed on a Ring camera arriving at her residence. 11:38, Miller was observed on a Ring camera leaving her residence. 12:12, Miller was observed on a store surveillance walking into Dick's Pawn Shop, which is located at 1852 Mr. Joe White Avenue, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. 12:13, Miller is observed at the register and initiates the purchase of a weapon. 12:34, Miller is observed leaving Dick's Pawn Shop after purchasing a weapon and ammunition. 106, Miller's black Honda Accord is observed traveling on Highway 5 near 4 Mile Road, Conway, South Carolina. Let me just make this a little bit smaller. So 127, Miller's black Honda Accord is observed arriving at 41 Grocery and Grill, which is located at 41 SC 41 Mullins, South Carolina. 135, Miller's observed leaving the store after purchasing a drink and gas. 254, Miller called Robeson County from Lumber River State Park. The Lumber River State Park is 32.7 miles, 41 minutes from 41 Grocery and Grill in Mullins. That's the 911 call. This is the sheriff's office that our condolences are being sent to the family of Micah Miller, said Sheriff Bernice Wilkins. This incident has garnered much attention from across the Carolinas and beyond. I want to assure everyone that a very methodical investigation was conducted by our criminal investigations team and crime scene investigative team. Unfortunately, rumors and conspiracy theories were spreading quickly and assumptions were being made. However, in the end, we must make decisions based on facts and evidence that has been gathered. While I know it's not what many people wanted to hear, the evidence is quite clear and compelling. We are as saddened as anyone that this occurred. There are many factors that we have reviewed that occurred over an extended period of time that are probably related to the reason for this investigation. But in the end, sadly, a tragic decision was made by Micah that ended her life. So that was the conclusion of the police investigative report. And guys, no one is saying that John Paul Miller is a good guy. No one is saying that he didn't have a part in Micah taking her own life. That seems to be clear for anyone that is following this case. However, there was evidence that he was in another state at this time. He had a clear-cut alibi. And when you see some of the pictures that also, you know, implicate Micah. There she's going into the Dick's pawn shop and right at the cash register buying that Sig Sauer 9mm pistol. And they had in the park what we would call in the police profession as an ear witness, someone that heard, was fishing at the lake and heard what he described as a woman crying. And at some point, he heard a gunshot. I don't know if he went toward that or not, but that's pretty powerful, an ear witness that hears that. At that location, they found her body and they found the gun. The gun that they recovered was a Sig Sauer. The serial number on that gun matched the serial number on the case that the gun was put in that was inside her Honda Accord. So all of these things connect the evidence. And again, everyone, of course, wants to hear that John Paul Miller was involved in this. And he did contribute to this, but did he pull the trigger? I think there's clear-cut evidence that he did not. And this is such a sad case because, as I said, I'll go through some of the pictures here. She had so much to offer still in life. She was only 30 years old. My God. Just unbelievable. She was only 30 years old. This on the screen, the picture you've seen on the screen, Pastor John Miller asks a waitress to send him bikini pics after leaving his phone number and a large tip to the waitress. That we covered that last night, but it just sort of shows this guy's character, you know, going through a divorce. He's a pastor of a church and he's asking a waitress to send him, I think it was more than bikini pics he requested. Micah Miller purchasing a gun. Why did she do it? Well, we all know now that why she did it, and we're all horrified by it. We're all saddened by it. And the only, as I said earlier, the only solace we can take in this case, at least in regards to John Paul Miller, is that civilly he's held accountable. I don't foresee any criminal charges in this case, but I think that civilly they potentially could get some of his assets. Spiritual angel, someone else was with her, she bought it for protection, or he or someone he hired followed her. Nah, I don't buy that spiritual angel. Jake loves Jesus. If she ended her life to escape his abuse, then he is to blame, especially if he slashed her tires. Jake loves Jesus. Jake, I said that he definitely caused this, but he didn't. I don't think we can prove that in a Matilda Green, was the gun found right by her in the water? Yes, Matilda, it was. And it was the same firearm that she purchased based on the fact that the gun case was still in the car and the serial number was matched to that. True Crime with Stephanie Michelle. Glad I found your channel, Bill. It's one of my favorites. True Crime with Stephanie Michelle. Thank you, Stephanie. We try to be thorough and not be sensational in these cases. Matilda Green, water moves. Yeah, but a gun, you know, weighs, I don't know the exact weight, but 3 to 5 pounds. It's going to go to the bottom and not move. We find sometimes guns in the East River, which has an unbelievable current. Illusionist, sir, I believe she was assisted. Well, Illusionist, there's no evidence of that right now. If that is uncovered during a further investigation, we will report that. Teresa Webb, at least Micah got the last word by leaving documents and her journal on the scene for someone else to find besides JP. Hey, it's Jay. Sometimes abusers can do so much damage to someone's psyche that they quite literally break a person. When that happens, sometimes they fall into a dark hole, lost, and you may not be able to help. Thank you, Jay, for those words of wisdom there. Passionate one for the truth. He was the cause, that pushed her over the edge. Passionate one for the truth, no doubt. I agree with you. Linda Hannaford, is it possible that Micah had been hypnotized? I don't believe so. Anything's possible, but I don't believe that's a factor in this case. Sherry Murray, wow, I realized she was wearing all black. Probably not important. Just thought I would mention that. Yeah, there she is, dressed in all black. Jake loves Jesus, but if he slashed her ties and was threatening, he created an uncomfortable environment, gave her not much of a choice. Jake, you know something? I would never look at taking one's life as a good choice in any circumstance. And I'm sure you would agree with that. D. Random, in the first interview with the fisherman, he said there was another couple came in on a boat. I haven't heard anything else about the other couple after the first interview. Has anyone else? I have not heard. Prying Paula, she was so beautiful, such a sad case. Prying Paula, I 100% agree with you. Jake loves Jesus. I'm glad this bum of a pastor was exposed. Maybe that's that's absolutely a good thing. I'm the mom. That's why was a complete background check done on this weapon possession. You know, I'm the mom. That's why she bought this at a pawn shop. And clearly there was no background check whatsoever. They just probably asked her for her license and they sold her the gun. So there was no investigation. The Goshi N, in more enlightened countries like India, they prosecute the person for murder that drove someone to suicide. Our country needs to wake up and do the same. The Goshi N, I've never seen that done in this country. And I don't think they're going to start. Prying Paula, I do believe she did it herself. I also believe it's his fault. Some dumb women will still get involved with him and be treated the same way. They always do. Prying Paula, you're right. And it's a shame that someone would get involved with this guy. Heather, whatever. She wanted to do the right thing. She's talking to I'm the mom. That's why. With James, the membership link, I believe, is in underneath the episode, and you can get it that way. Nina Marquez, buying a gun requires a background check about that. Maybe she, not in South Carolina, Nina Marquez. It doesn't require that at all. Certain states, yes, not in South Carolina. You can walk in, and same thing in Florida. You can walk in and buy a gun. SC, you can get a gun in just about 20 minutes or so with a background check with James. So maybe he did do a quick round robin on her name and nothing popped up and he sold her the gun. Maui Swift, always great to see Maui Swift. Can't do it on a cell phone for members. Okay, Maui, thank you. So you got to go on a computer. Maui's advising you can join, but you have to be on your computer to join. You can't do it from a cell phone. It's all optics. Michelle Carter was convicted of involuntary manslaughter for encouraging the suicide of her then-boyfriend, Conrad Roy III, in 2014. Julia Ann, at least 48-hour hold before you purchase a gun. Again, not in South Carolina. Tony, the night owl, I'm assuming his children are grown or live with his ex-wife. I'm not sure of the ages of his children. Seven Palms and the cat, probably wearing black to hide the blood. She was thinking of others always. Why didn't the hospital put a hold on her to buy a weapon? Well, that also comes down with the HIPAA laws. You know, they don't automatically... HIPAA laws are privacy laws in mental health, physical health. Do we want all of our information just being taken or solicited by the government? That's one of the problems they always claim with these red flag laws. And that's why we see active shooters that have had mental health issues by firearms. They're not doing a good job of interconnecting the red flag laws, and many times HIPAA, which is the law that protects your privacy, either when you seek physical or mental health care. And that's what it does. Folks, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. Roseanne, I don't believe mental health history would pop up on a background check. Wouldn't that be? Yeah, I was just talking about, Roseanne. I beat you to it, Roseanne, but thank you. I want to thank everyone that's tuning in today. This is such a tragic, tragic case, or as are most of the cases, or many of the cases that we cover on here. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. And again, if you're not subscribed, go on our YouTube, hit the subscribe button. It's free. Give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, share us with your friends and your family, and hit that like button. We like to be liked. Everyone likes to be liked. All right, folks, I want to just thank everyone for tuning in today, and we'll be following up on this case as it proceeds forward. As far as the criminal part of this, I think it's the decision has been made, the determination has been made by the medical examiner, and it's been ruled self-inflicted. Folks, have a great night. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff. See you next time, and God bless. One episode, just ain't enough.